Welcome to the Fidelity Bank 9-month 2017 investors call. There'll be a question and answer session at the end of the call. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this conference call. My name is Nnamdi Okonkwo. I have my colleagues here. I have Bola Joshua, Chief Operations and Information Officer. I have the CFO. I have Akeem Babalola, the Treasurer. Adetunji Mustafa, Head of Strategy and Business Transformation, and Sam Obioha, Head of Investor Relations. Okay, I'll just take this segment of the presentations, and then we'll go into questions. Just like we promised during our previous calls, as well as during the last deal roadshow we had, we've been able to sustain the performance trend we promised for Q3. This was as a result of disciplined balance sheet management, our strategic cost reduction initiatives, which we've been driving throughout the year, and our digital banking strategy. All of these are in line with our medium-term strategy, which we have clearly repeatedly said is based on deepening our retail, SME, and digitization segments, as well as maintaining our niche corporate bank play. The process improvement which we started, we've talked about this repeatedly as well. Process improvement towards cost reduction has also been showing some good results. All of these have resulted in the numbers we're discussing today. We've achieved solid growth in revenue lines, with a corresponding decline in cost profile in an inflationary environment. I'm happy to say that our cost income ratio improved further to 67%. This is a significant, and then there's been some significant improvement in all other operational indices that I'll be discussing shortly. The Q3 PBT at 16.2 billion is 65% increase from the previous period. In absolute terms, our PBT actually increased by 6.4 billion naira, made up of 5.1 billion growth in operational income, as well as 1.3 billion naira drop in operating cost. I'll now talk about NPL. We made gross impairments of about 10 billion, while we also had 2.7 billion of impairments no longer required due to decline in our absolute NPL numbers by 6%. If you back out that 2.7, we then have net impairment of 7.3 billion. This has increased our NPL coverage ratio to 97%. In line with best market practice during the quarter, it's important that we bring this to your attention because it will affect every other thing we're discussing. We changed our currency conversion rate to reflect a hybrid of the CBN official rate and the investors and exporters rate. That means starting from Q3, our conversion rate, we changed it from 306 to 333 per dollar. This represents 8.8% increase in our naira to dollar cross rate, and which translated to 0.9% growth in total deposits and 3.8% growth in risk assets. All the strategy we've been talking about in previous calls, especially the digitization strategy, is beginning to win us some recognitions. You'll recall that in our previous H1 call, we had announced that we came fourth in the KPMG Banking Industry Customer Service Survey in the area of retail. Just last week or two ago, again, we won two awards in the area of mobile banking and corporate banking in the annual This Day Business Banking Awards. Now, still sitting on the numbers, our gross earnings grew by 18% to 130 billion, primarily driven by a 21% increase in income and 8% growth in fees. Net interest income grew by 7% to 54 billion naira, driven by increased yields on our earning assets to 15.1%, which led to our NIM being maintained at 7.4%. For non-interest income, we achieved an 8% growth to 17 billion, driven primarily by our trade finance. Of the growth of the 17 billion, trade finance accounted for 91% growth, FX income 64% growth, account maintenance fees 49% growth. So the implementation of the initiatives from our business process review, which we had disclosed to you, was being anchored by one of the top four accounting firms, continued to show positive results because of improvement in our efficiencies. Total operating expenses notably dropped by 3% to 47 billion. This is in an inflation, despite the inflationary environment. I've talked about our cost income ratio, which declined to 60, it achieved a 10% decline. Now, total deposits declined by 2% to 774 billion. This was principally due to the fact that we paid off all our foreign currency TSA deposits. We paid out actually $175 million or 53 billion naira equivalent. However, over the same period, savings increased by 6% to 164 billion. This was largely driven by our retail banking strategy. I'm also glad to note that low-cost deposits now constitute 74% of our total deposits. Risk assets increased by 5% to 754 billion. However, actual real growth in risk assets was just 1.1%. I just mentioned our change in conversion rate. That change accounted for the balance of 3.8%. Cost of risk increased marginally to 1.3% from 1.2%, while non-performing loans ratio improved to 5.9%, down from 6.6% at end of 2016 financial year. This was due to 5.9% drop in absolute NPL figures and the growth in the loan book, which has now shown our coverage ratio to 97%. I want to talk about loan to deposit ratio. If you look at the numbers, the ratios, you see at 82%, that might appear high, but we have funded a significant portion of our loan books using mainly on lending and intervention funds, as well as long-term borrowings and debt securities which were issued. So when you factor in this and recalculate the loan to interest-bearing liabilities, our funding ratio will actually be 71%. I'll then move on to talk about some significant issues in the industry, notably Nine Mobile. When we had the H1 conference call, we had told you that we had taken collective impairments, but this time around, the numbers we are discussing today includes a 5% specific impairment charge we have taken on Nine Mobile. Just to recap, to reemphasize, our total exposure to Nine Mobile is 17.3 billion. This is made up of 11 billion naira and approximately $19 million. So we have now taken 5% specific impairment on Nine Mobile. Now I then move to Owando. We have a direct exposure of 9.9 billion to Owando and 14 billion to companies in which the group divested from. All of these loans are currently performing and meeting their obligations in line with approved repayment structure. The third point I want to speak to regarding industry developments, the recent BVN judgment of the court, which requires banks to give certain treatments to accounts without BVN. We have submitted the schedule of the accounts that are affected, the accounts without BVN. We have submitted that to the CBN as requested, and that's actually what all banks are requested to do, and we await further directives. Obviously, because this matter is in court, you will understand that we will not be obliged to disclose the aggregate customer volumes or values at this stage, since our regulator has requested for that information and we have complied and submitted same. Now, in concluding this sub-segment, I would just like to comment on our regulatory ratios, which have remained above required thresholds. Capital adequacy ratio, as at end of 9 months, stood at 17.3%, while our liquidity ratio improved further between H1 and Q3 to 34.4%. I will now give an update on the Eurobond transaction, which we just closed last 2 weeks. So we had promised to notify the investor community during our last call our decisions regarding our 2018 bonds. On 28th of September, we returned to the international capital markets with a liability management and new issue transaction, which was managed by Citigroup, Renaissance Capital, and Standard Banking Group. This any and all cash tender offer targeted the outstanding 6.875% $300 million notes, which were due 2018 May. And the purpose of the tender, alongside the new issue, was to extend the maturity profile of our borrowings by proactively enhancing the outstanding 2018 notes. So, on October 11th, Fidelity successfully priced a $400 million 10.5% 5-year 144A Reg S Eurobond with the following transaction highlights for the strategic liability management and new issue transaction. The first point to note is we received and accepted for purchase a total of $256 million in nominal amount of our 2018 notes. So of the 2018 notes, that was a total of $300 million. We accepted for purchase $256 million, representing a strong participation of 85%. A large proportion of the take-up was from accounts wishing to participate in the new issue. So the Eurobond issue was 200% oversubscribed. Indeed, our order book was $630 million, with the final coupon ultimately set at 10.5%. Now, due to the strong order book, the deal was upsized from the original aspiration of $300 million, and we raised it to a benchmark of $400 million. So this transaction achieved a wide market distribution with over 100 investors from the UK, US, continental Europe, Asia, Africa, subscribing to the new issue. What are we going to do with the proceeds? From the proceeds of $400 million due 2022, we used part of it to finance the tender offer of $256 million, and the balance, net of issuing costs, will be used to support our trade finance business. This transaction is the largest combined new issue and liability management offering ever by a Nigerian issuer, and it was highly successful and effectively, we believe, opens the door for other Tier 2 banks to test the international market. The new bond will increase our funding cost because this new bond has cost implications. It will increase our funding cost by 40 basis points. However, this will be offset by the optimization of the foreign currency balance sheet and increased transaction velocity from our trade finance business. As at Q3, our trade finance business has already delivered revenue growth of over 90%. So we believe we'll continue this trajectory to offset the identified increased cost of issuing this bond. So, you know, in closing, I want to just give an update on the guidance we had earlier given. We have revised our guidance for some lines to better reflect economic realities and fundamentals. Starting with deposit growth, this has been revised from 10% to a flat growth due to the high yields on fixed income instruments, which has seen T-bills and savings bonds become direct competitors for our customer deposits. In addition, we've returned about 53 billion of TSA funds in compliance with the requirements. So as we speak, we do not have any TSA funds. When you factor in this 53 billion, as well as the competition for funds with T-bills, etc., you will understand why we have now given a flat guidance as against previous 10% growth. We thought we should bring this to your attention. I then move over to cost of risk. We are revising from 1% to 1.25% in line with expected increased impairments due to currency conversion adjustments, which I discussed earlier, and expected loan impairments. On NPL, we are revising from below 5% to below 6%. So this means we will not be able to achieve NPL ratio of sub 5% by end of the year. Instead, we are guiding for sub 6% due to currency conversion and some risks on the oil and gas downstream book. So I will now hand over to Bolaho, who will take us through detailed presentations, and then we can take questions. Thank you very much for your attention.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bolaho. I'll start from slide 4, which just shows an overview of the bank and our distribution network. Business offices are still 240, and number of accounts are now 3.9 million customers. I'll go to slide 5, which just shows how we've been using digital banking to drive our retail banking strategy. Savings deposits are now 1.4 billion. It's a 97% growth over the last 4 years. And on mobile and internet banking, we now have 1.25 million customers. If you take it over the total customer base, it's actually 32% of the customers now use this product. So it's roughly one in every three of our customers now use this product. And then for cards, we have a 50% penetration ratio. On slide 7, it's just a review of the operating environment. Credit to the private sector has not been growing. And then industry deposits from a deposit growth perspective has been negative over this period. But what are the positives? The currency has been stable. There's increased FX liquidity. And we think that will be positive going forward. On slide 9, it just talks about the key performance highlights. Profit up 65% to 16.2 billion. Cost income ratio down to 67%. Expenses down by 3%. And total interest income up by 21%. Regulatory ratios are strong. And then I'll go to slide 10. If you look at the yield on earning assets over this period, it's 15.1%, and it was down from 15.5%, but over the period also, funding costs have also declined from about 7.5% to about 7.1%. If you look at the Eurobond we've issued, it will impact our funding costs by about 40 basis points. Our funding cost is about 7.1% currently. On slide 11, we just speak a lot about the balance sheet lines. I think Nambi has covered most of them. Just to say that customer deposits at 774 billion, we've had to pay back over $175 million. That's about 53 billion naira over the period. On slide 12, just the impact of the currency conversion, it impacted loans by about 27 billion, which is about 3.8%. Deposits about 7.5 billion, which is about 0.9%. And then NPLs by about 0.5 billion, because it's about 15% of the NPL book is in foreign currency. On slide 13, just shows the detailed highlights of the financials year on year. What are the key drivers? If you look at interest income, it's up 20%. Interest expense is up 38%, but net interest income is still up 6.5%. FX income is up 64% over the period due to the improved FX liquidity. E-banking income is down 43%. That's entirely due to the reduction in international card transaction spend volumes. We look at operating expenses, it's down 2.6%, even though the inflation rate is still above 15%. On the average, we've kept about 50% of our cost lines below the previous year. Slide 14 just shows a breakdown of the financials on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Quarter 3 has been the strongest quarter for the year. CBT for the quarter was about 6 billion. It was 12% above the previous quarter. And there were improvements on a couple of the key lines. And when you come down and look at provisioning for this quarter, out of the 2.5 billion, roughly 40% of the provisions was the 5% specific charge we took for the Lime Mobile. Slide 15 looks at the balance sheet. On 9 months compared to 2016 financial year, you see growth on the savings and the time deposit book, and then a decline on the demand deposit book. The demand deposit is also where we have domiciliary deposits. So a chunk of that 48 billion decline you're seeing there is due to the 53 billion naira payout on the TSA line. Slide 16 just shows the trend on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And if you go to slide 18, which is just an analysis of our gross earnings, you see the key drivers. Trade income has been very strong this year. It's moved from roughly 1 billion same period 2016 to almost 1.8 billion. That's about 91% growth. Out of all the key income lines, the only one that we've had a decline in is on the electronic banking income line. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, interest income on loans is up. Interest income on liquid assets was down. The average yield on liquid assets dropped from about 17% to about 15.5% in Q3. We saw declining yields on liquid assets towards the end of the third quarter. We'll discuss that later in the presentation. On slide 19, it just shows a breakdown on the trend of the NIM. Yield on earning assets is 15.1%. NIM has been stable at 7.4% between H1 and 9 months, obviously because even though we had falling yield on the from the asset perspective, we've also lowered our funding costs. Slide 20 shows a breakdown of the expenses. Staff cost is still the highest cost line. It's about 38% of total expenses. It used to be about over 40%. Last year it was about 44%. If you look at most of the key expense lines on a year-on-year basis, there's been a decline. Apart from NDIC and AMCON cost that has gone up 5%, energy costs 15%, and other expenses 7%. On all the key lines, we've had a reduction, leading to a 2.6% decline. Slide 21 just shows a breakdown of our total expenses. Those you see colored blue are those that we've had a decline on a year-on-year basis, and then those in red are those that have grown on a year-on-year basis. And then on a quarter-on-quarter basis, it just shows the trend also. Slide 23 just shows the key lines responsible for the cost savings over on a year-on-year basis and then on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Staff cost, depreciation, bank charges, technology cost, and then branding cost. On slide 25, which is a review of the funding base, deposits are about 61% of total funding, and then I've explained the decline in total deposits. On slide 26, where you see the deposit analysis, excluding the currency conversion impact, total deposits will have been 767 billion. It's 774 billion because of the impact of the currency movement. On slide 27, it just shows our retail banking trajectory. Savings deposits are up 5.7% for the year, 1.7% quarter on quarter. In terms of our low-cost deposits, which constitutes 74% of our total deposits, the retail segment accounts for 43% of our total low-cost deposits. I look at the retail loan book, it's down 22% this year. It's about 5.7% of our gross loans. We've significantly tightened the underwriting standards there in view of the challenging macro. Slide 28 looks at liquidity profile, and then out of our total assets, 9% are in treasury bills, about 8% in bonds, and then cash and short-term funds. LDR is about 82%. Our liquidity ratio is 84%. If you look at loans to interest-bearing liabilities, it's actually about 71%. Slide 29 shows a breakdown of the loan book. You see an increase in a lot of the areas that have a high dollar component, like the oil and gas book. The upstream book is all foreign currency, so when you see a 7.1% growth, there's actually been a decline in that line. If you factor in the fact that the currency conversion accounted for 8.8% growth on that line. And then you see a marked decline in the consumer loan book. Slide 30 just shows a breakdown of the loan portfolio into the major segments. If you look at the key contributors to that loan book, the oil and gas segment is 27%, power is 13%, manufacturing is 10%, and government is 14%. Just to say the bulk of the government facilities are on lending facilities. Slide 31 is a further analysis of the loan book, excluding the currency adjustment. It will have been 727 billion. FCY loans are now back to 44.4% of the loan book. It was down to 41% in H1. As of 2016, it was also 44% of the loan book. Slide 32 shows movement in NPLs. NPLs, there's been a 6% decline. We've seen some improvement in the transport sector. We've seen some improvements in the consumer loan book and the general commerce segment. We've seen some weaknesses in the downstream segment, and that has driven the NPL ratio on the oil and gas book to 4% from a previous 1.2%. Slide 33 just shows the pressure point. For 2017, we look at the sectors contributing roughly about 5% and above. There's just about five of them: the consumer, transport, general commerce, manufacturing, and the oil and gas segment. And then the NPL analysis, excluding regulatory risk reserves, is 97%, and then the NPL ratio is 5.9%. Gross loan book is 785. For capital adequacy, it's 17.3%. The charge, the single obligor charge, has increased from 13 billion that it was in H1 to about 16 billion because the loan in question is a foreign currency loan. Excluding that, capital adequacy will have been 18.8%. For the Tier 2, we've only included the 30 billion subordinated unsecured 7-year local currency debt. So, if you look at the contribution for the business segment, corporate and investment banking delivers about 45% of profit, the Lagos business about 21%, and the North, we generate about 16% of our profit, and from the southern part of Nigeria, about 19% of our profit. In terms of our guidance, out of the 9 items, we're on track on about 6 of the items, and we've revised our deposit growth target, our NPL ratio target, and our cost of risk target. I think Nnamdi has explained the reasons for the revision. Thank you, and we'll now take questions.
Thank you. We'll now open the lines for questions. To ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad. That's 0 to ask a question and 7 to cancel your question request. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad or 7 to cancel the question request. Thank you. Your first question is from Tolu Alamatu. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for hosting the call. I have three quick questions, please. The first is on the Orlando exposure. Thank you for the updated figures, but could you maybe remind us of how much in terms of provisions that you've set aside for Orlando? I think you did set aside something last year. Second question is about your exposure to the downstream oil and gas sector. Can you maybe give us some more detail on what happened in the third quarter, given how much the NPLs have gone up in that segment? And also, can you maybe give us an idea of how that sector might perform in this final quarter? Is that included in your NPL outlook? And finally, about the Eurobond, can you also tell us how the Eurobond will be accounted for and whether it will be accounted for as senior, which it is, or as subordinated? And do you plan to issue more subordinated bonds to offset the impact of the regulatory charge on your capital ratio? Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Tolu. I'll start with Orlando. I think in 2015, in the 2015 account, the CBN told banks to take a 5% haircut before the exposure was restructured. The restructuring has been done, and so right now we don't have any provisioning on that customer. For the loans we have, they are all performing in line with the repayment structure. For the downstream segment, it's actually a single customer. I think it was in the news at a point in time. We've taken very quick remedial action, and then what we've decided to do is to be very proactive. So in terms of how the portfolio shapes up, it's a single customer. We've classified loan. We've taken a haircut on that exposure of about 15% currently, which has already been recognized. On the Eurobond, presently, total Eurobonds we have now is about $445 million, $400 million from the new issuance, and then about $45 million from the May 2018 notes that were not tendered. It is going to be treated as senior. It's not going to form part of our capital adequacy ratio computation. Are we planning to issue more subordinated instruments at this point in time? No. The capital adequacy numbers we're showing at 17.3% has not yet capitalized the profits for quarter three. We believe that by the time we capitalize profits for quarter three and quarter four, less dividend payments, the ratios will inch up slightly. We also expect to still further bring down the loan that is causing us to take a regulatory charge on capital. So once we resolve that, capital adequacy ratio will still be well over 18%. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Jumia Mohammed. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for the detailed presentation. Just a few questions from me. On non-interest income, which is down sequentially, I just wanted to ask if that is the sort of run rate you expect for the rest of the year, or if you are seeing a pickup in transactions to suggest otherwise. And on your revision on deposits, it would seem like you expect, material growth in the last quarter of the year, especially given that you've seen a 2.3 decline so far. I just wanted to ask what you expect to drive that. And finally, on IFRS 9 implementation, it's on the horizon and it still seems like a blind spot. I just wanted to check with you. I'm sure there's still a lot of moving parts, but if you could share with us what your analysis or parallel run implies for capital ratios and profitability thus far. That will be all from me. Thank you.
Okay. For fee income, if you look at the previous quarter, I think the highest run rate we've had over the last three quarters was in the second quarter when it was about 7.8 billion. Obviously, Q3 was markedly higher than Q1. In terms of is that the typical run rate we'll expect towards the end of the year, for the fourth quarter, in terms of fee income, it's not normally an extremely strong quarter, so will not expect the run rate to be significantly higher than the third quarter. But for next year, we'll expect there to be a significant uptick. For deposits, yes, we've guided for a flat growth, but a flat growth still implies that we expect to have some level of deposit growth in this fourth quarter. We expect that mainly to come from our retail deposit book. For IFRS 9, it's still early days. What we see is that it could impact initial thoughts are that it could impact capital by about 40 to 50 basis points. I think we'll have a much clearer idea of that by the first quarter of next year, January, actually. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Clement Adewuyi. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations on your performance. I have two questions. My first question is on FX income. I just want a brief explanation of what drove the marked growth in FX income. And I also want to, my second question is on dividend. Can you give guidance on what we should expect for dividends in full year 2017?
Okay, so dividend, we'll stick with our dividend payout policy. It's 30 to 50%. For FX income, in the earlier parts of the year, we had some forward transactions which we entered into. Those were the key drivers from a Q2 perspective. Also, during the period, there's been significantly improved FX liquidity. So that is part of what also drove FX income. Number three is also from a trade income perspective, there's also an FX spread that is being made and then some bit of revaluation income also. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad or 7 to cancel a question request. Thank you. Your next question is from Ola Ogunsanya. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I just wanted to understand how you arrived at the 333 Naira exchange rate in valuing your foreign currency books. Is this a weighted average of all the transactions done, and can we see this as a gradual move towards using 360? And secondly, to what extent has the BVN directive affected the downwards revision of your deposit growth guidance? And finally, I just wanted to get a sense of your strategy going into 2018. So how do you think you can grow earnings given the decline in interest rates and potential decline in non-interest revenue? Thank you.
Okay. For the currency conversion rate, the methodology we've adopted is a simple average between the CBN rate and then the investors I&E window rate. So we just use a simple average. For the BVN, just like the MD said, what we've done is we've notified our customers who don't have the BVN. We've notified them of the court ruling via text and via email that they should, in view of this court ruling, they should come and regularize. So, and then we've also sent in an aggregated schedule, which was requested by the regulators from all banks. So we think we'll take next directives from what comes out of there. For 2018, yes, I think beginning from this quarter, we started seeing some of the impact from the end of last quarter. We expect the yields on liquid assets to come down. That has implications for interest income. We also expect there to be a decline in funding costs, which we saw some bit of it also in Q3. We still see a lot of scope from a transactional banking perspective, both from retail banking and from a trade finance perspective. So I think the key thing will be we'll see how the year ends and the government budget for next year. But clearly, from an income modeling perspective, some of the income lines that were available this year no longer be available next year, and then we'll adjust our strategy accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Clement Adewi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a follow-up question on the forward transactions, do you expect this trend in FX revenue to continue in Q4, or do you see it as a one-off revenue? Thank you.
In terms of the type of transactions that will generate the income, we don't think it will be the same type of transactions. But in terms of the revenue streams, we think there's still opportunities. So, for example, early on in the year, you see a lot more customers coming in and saying, look, I want to buy. They're trying to lock into forward rates because of the volatility of the currency. A lot more of what you see now is that some customers now do their maths and say, instead of waiting for the forwards that are being sold by the CBN, when they factor in the funding costs and the total cost of the transaction, some of them might find out that the 305 actually comes to 336, 340, and then they opt to buy at the INA window rate. So the most important thing is to have a strategy where you generate enough FX liquidity so you can meet the demands of those customers who need at various ends of the market. And I think once the funding source is right, then the revenue streams can be quasi-guaranteed. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad or 7 to cancel your question request. Thank you. There are no questions at this time. Please go ahead. Your next question is from Onyeko Bunkbemile. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to find out how your 30, 60, and how you expect your 30, 60, and 90 days past due to evolve over the next quarter.
We don't expect a marked trend from what has been the norm. I mean, from an NPL perspective, we think NPL actually peaked in 2016 because if you look at 2016, we had to grapple with FX liquidity issues, significant devaluation. So what we've tried to do now is to be more proactive with the balance sheet. We think that moving towards a more market-determined rate enables us to assess the risks on that balance sheet better. We're actually doing our H1 conference call set, we'd actually model the balance sheet assuming that exchange rate was harmonized with the INA window rate. So we don't see a marked difference in what the normal trend has been because there's not been any significant effect in the either in the economy or internally to trigger that. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Tunde Abidoye. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I just want to get a sense as to your medium-term ROE target.
So medium-term ROE target over the next 2 to 3 years is 15%. The short term for this year was to get to 10%, and then medium-term over the next 2 to 3 years is 15%, and then over the next 3 to 5 years is above 20%. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad or 7 to cancel your question request. Thank you. There are currently no questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay, let me thank you all once more for participating in this call. Like I've always said at the close of each call, the strategy we're executing is bringing in the numbers the way we expected. And just to reassure you, we'll stay focused and keep executing our plans with rigor and discipline. We expect that Q4 would not deviate from the trend we've seen in Q3 and previous quarters. So we are very hopeful that we'll deliver some decent set of numbers by end of Q4. On that note, I thank you for participating and look forward to speaking to you again at the next call. Thank you.
That concludes today's call. Thank you very much.